Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan. I'm JL Covan, here, as always, with producer Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, JL. How you doing? Hi, everybody out there. Thank you for listening. What's going on, JL?
Sure.
I'm chewing potato chips, so...
Yeah, well, I bet you the potato chips know what my name is. It's good. It's good to be here. My work assignment just ended, so I'm here in the afternoon, which is great for you, bad for my bank account. But it's I was hoping more people would have jumped on the baseball episode last week.
Yeah, you seem disappointed, but I mean, I think you've kind of won the argument, haven't you?
Yes, and that is the dilemma, I think, of JL's existence, which is I win most arguments, and the argument is something bad for me.
Yes, that's right.
So it's, you could call it a silver lining, mm-hmm. where, hey, I'm homeless, but I did call that 6 months ago.
Told you.
Stage four. You thought it was just a warning. I told you that was it. I'm out. Final words from hospice. I was right. But yeah, I'm going to write on this, but I will, you know, last week I was having some dental issues, and I think dental issues and dental pain has replaced, I went to a Broadway show and it annoyed me, as our new intro topic every week.
Well, we haven't talked about this yet, right?
No, we haven't. It's
we've talked a lot about it off mic.
Yes.
With Mike. I've been hearing quite a bit about it.
Yeah. Mike loves puns so much.
Oh, boy.
You know what it made? I had a tooth extracted on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was one of the worst. I've lived a fairly charmed life. It was one of the worst pains of my life. And I had about 8 or 9 shots of Novocaine in the mouth. You know, my emergency dentist is a short king, and I thought he might have been taking it out on me. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, kind of doing a little Shop of Horrors, but like Gulliver's Travels dentistry.
Yeah.
Where I was just pinned down, and it was brutal. But the bad news is my mouth is still swollen 5 days later, and I think the infection is still roaming around my mouth.
Yeah.
So ladies, you said last week, a mouth infection sounds disgusting. I feel like a mouth infection in some ways sounds worse than like a genital infection.
Wait, I mean, it's not even close. I don't think. I mean,
says,
a genital infection is disgusting.
But
I mean, I have never had a mouth infection. I've had one genital infection, and it was gross, and I didn't like it. But like, I don't know. It's not. I think about just seeing like, I'm repulsed even thinking about things coming out of your gums.
Yeah,
like green. Like, ugh, that's in your mouth.
Yeah, it was. Ugh. And it's an ongoing battle right now. And it would be ironic if some disease of my mouth were my downfall.
Yep.
The only thing that I've had any success with in this life.
Yep.
But that would be classic JL Jinx. I think mm-hmm. we all agree. And out there, some of my fans are probably rooting for it. Just that's how they want to see the series finish.
Yep.
They're like, I mean, you're telling me the JL Jinx didn't get him at the end? Boo. Worst finale since Lost. Don't Stop Believing playing as I just die of natural causes. Sopranos reference. Anyway,
hey, I was on The Sopranos.
But yeah, I have to go back to the dentist tomorrow because it seems like amoxicillin is not working on me. So that's also a weird thing when you're like, oh yeah, the antibiotics don't work on me. In one way, it makes me feel strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need better than the average person to heal because I'm made of different stuff. But at the same time, it also makes me feel very weak.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, the antibiotics didn't work on my genital infection either.
All right. Well, ladies, you heard it.
Back in the, I mean, it's been a while, but.
Sure.
Look at that face.
Just say
pure, you know, repulsion.
Say, you know, this might as well be, you know, the Christian hour for Slickback Studios, know, yeah. based on how I live my life. So uh-huh. save that for Mike Coscarelli's herpes rules. Okay.
The offshoot. Herpes.
But have you, before we get to our main topic, which is going to be very timely.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're gonna do spoilers because you're 2 episodes to the end. I'm 1 episode from the end, so yep. You can't spoil the whole thing. We're gonna talk about Shogun today, which we're both fans of, but I think it's gonna be a very interesting discussion. But have you been watching any playoff sports, Mike?
I've been watching all, yes. specifically, I mean, Knicks and Rangers. I haven't been as into like the other games in the playoffs like I usually am, but I think it's because it's rare that both of those teams are in the playoffs at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, you know? 1994 is the last time the two teams were ranked this high.
Crazy.
And we know what happened then.
And I was 4.
OJ killed Nicole Simpson.
Yeah, right.
So all I'm saying is Larsa Pippen better watch out, because I think this is the summer of Scotty.
Yeah. Julia Fox. Maybe just keep all these people. We got to keep an eye on them.
Is Julia Fox a Kanye ex?
Yes, but she was like a dancer. She's been a lot of people.
She was the one in Uncut Gems, right?
Yes.
She did that meme, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Well, what's funny is that I want to bring, I've had requests from people. You've probably never seen, well, it was only audio, but I had a very good impression of Adam. I have a good impression of Adam Sandler, but specifically I had developed one of him in Uncut Gems. Mm. And when I moved to New Jersey and started internet gambling, I would just recap my losses as Adam Sandler from Uncut Gems. And so I thought, I've got like some tinted sunglasses. I might bring in the fake earrings.
Yeah.
I might do that as a little segment on the show in the future weeks.
It sounds like you're losing a lot.
I'm not losing a lot, but
not
it's
a
just,
lot of money, but it's, a lot.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. But I gotta say, I do it within my means.
Yeah.
And it's, I know this is like, sounds like an addict, but I do it. If I get like two cameos, and boom, there's $150 in my, I'll then bet $100.
Yeah.
Like it's a very, like, when I get that income that I consider supplemental.
Yeah.
That's the fun income.
Yeah.
And I never go over it, but it's like, oh good, I'll play this parlay. And I always lose, but here's the one. And if I got to rewatch Uncut Gems, cause it's a little rough, because mm-hmm. it always starts with me going, Kai Jay. and I have to rewatch the movie because it was killing people on the show, the previous iteration of the show, but I would just be doing it off of memory, not off of like, actually, but I'm going to read you the parlay that I had two nights ago. It was LeBron James hits 3 3-pointers or more. Michael Porter Jr., this is a Denver Lakers, Michael Porter Jr., 4 or more 3-pointers. Nikola Jokic, 10 assists. Anthony Davis, 4 assists. That was like a plus 3,700.
I mean, it seems, what didn't hit?
At halftime, before I went to bed, I just looked at the app before going to bed, because I always like, you know, to go to bed with just awful feelings.
Yeah.
And LeBron had hit 1 3.
Right.
Jokic had 2 assists. That was the one that told me I'm done.
Yeah.
2 assists at halftime for this passing machine.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis had 2 assists.
Okay.
And Michael Porter Jr. had hit 4 threes already. So I had gotten one of the 4 things.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning and I look at the receipt. I look at the receipt, KJ. I see $0 in my account. And I go, great. Okay, fuck you. And I look. LeBron hit 3 3-pointers.
Okay.
Jokic had 8 assists in the second half. It was like he was trying to win for me, not for himself.
Right.
Nah. He got 8 assists. Michael Porter Jr. had 6 threes, but he was already good. Anthony fucking Davis, 0 assists in the second half.
Yeah, well.
All you got to do is like a skip pass and like an outlet pass or something. That was $3,800 basically to $1,900 per Anthony Davis assist is what I missed out on. And those, but there is something to anybody who's not a gambling fan, which I completely understand. And it's much worse for the youth. Like, I feel like I'm a fully functional adult. I've only gambled when I have lots of money to spare and I do it fairly responsibly, but kids are going to be fucked up. Like, kids are going to be fucked with this, because it is been so quickly like linked. They're like symbiotic now, sports and gambling. It took like a year or two.
Yeah.
And now they're just like, no, sports and sports gambling is like sports and championships or sports and athletes. It's just, it's a complete, it's gambling is more part of sports than like fucking hot dogs are part of baseball now.
Yeah. I mean,
you go to a baseball game, you get Shake Shack or sushi or fruit. It's like when I walk around Yankee Stadium, here's a shot I will take. Let's go back to baseball, because that was so successful for us last week. When I walk around Yankee Stadium, I always end up going, where can I get a hot dog? Why is that so hard?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying you can't have all this other stuff, Where are the fucking hot dogs?
I think the place that it's easiest to you just got to wait for the dude with the hot dogs on his head to come around. And because you're right, it is very difficult to find.
Well, no, now it's like some busty ribs. Waitress, some busty like young 20s waitress looking for tips.
Yeah.
Who's like, what would you like? I'm like, I want the fucking hairy guy screaming hot dogs.
Yeah. But this is the thing about gambling, dude. If you don't have... The one thing that kids are going to miss out on by having this all be normalized and like part of the way you watch sports is that when we were kids, and even after we were kids, if you wanted to gamble on sports, you had to find, you know, somebody to do it illegally.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I definitely had a bookie.
No. But I mean, I knew people. First off, I did know bookies in like high school and shit. But like, I knew people whose dads or brothers or whatever were like would gamble, you know, and would do it through a bookie.
No, I'm sorry, Vinny. Not now, Vinny. Continue, Mike.
And Vinny was my friend Josh's bookie. But and I think I learned how to gamble and kind of do it responsibly through that. Mm-hmm. Because if you get in too deep to fucking somebody that's not affiliated with DraftKings, they'll fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
You know, whereas DraftKings will just take it, which is bad, too. They'll just take it right out of your account, whatever. But I mean, you kind of learn to not chase your losses.
The bookie will give you a warning. The bookie will give you a warning. Sometimes. Like, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
You already owe this. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's the thing. When you grow up around enough degenerates, you learn kind of like what are sucker's bets. You learn how to not chase your losses. You learn how to like kind of be responsible with it so it doesn't get out of control. And you also see people who like fucking compulsively lose their... I don't know anybody that's ever lost their home, but like you know people that like do too much and mm-hmm. get into trouble. And I think without those examples, like you kind of need to see those things. And with gambling being a corporatized, sort of encouraged, endorsed thing by the leagues, I think it's kind of more dangerous that way, if I'm being honest.
Well, there's going to be a class. Here's a prediction for everybody. A class action suit in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Against like a sports league or something of like this unfettered, the same way they sued the big tobacco.
Yeah.
There's going to be like, you knew how addictive it was. You knew how addictive it could be for young people. That's why you have people on college campuses. That's why you're like encouraging your first moment of freedom in college. Get it on your phone.
Right.
I think that I thought you were going to say something different, which is what kids are going to miss out on is sports for the love of sports.
That's done. That's long gone.
Because I remember sitting in a bar in my 20s and I'm rooting for like at the time, I think it was probably the Steelers. It was like a game to decide the playoffs or something. And the guy near me is like screaming for the Browns. You know why? Because he had their tight end in his fantasy football league.
Right.
And I was just like, what the fuck? I get it, but at the same time, there's people who actually give a fuck about the game for the game, and I feel like that should be the, like, in the hierarchy of what matters. No, done. I know. I know. I'm saying this is my space to say how the world should be, not how it is.
Oh, got it.
But you get what I'm saying, where it's like, you got, like, a table here who root for the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're some Giants fan sitting in a bar going, I got him on my fantasy. Oh, 10 yards, 10 more yards, bro. 10, 10, 10. And you're like, fuck off, dude. Like, I don't like your energy near me.
Yeah.
I get that I'm not telling you can't, but if it's like this obnoxious, like it feels like you're placing the shallow over the more substantive. Gambling is like that times a million.
Yeah.
Where you're just like you're turning sports into just mercenary shit.
Yeah.
But why did I bring that up?
Gambling, because you've been losing.
I've been losing. But I will say, I play sucker bets all the time.
I know. Since now, you've been telling me.
What I'm
parlays. That's been my first thought.
But what I'm rooting for, it's only a sucker's bet if I'm doing it because I think it's like, this is too good to be true. This is my ticket. I like roulette when I go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's the dumb game. I know that craps is like your best bet to win money. I know all, but I don't gamble for the intellectual sport. I gamble for the high. See, and now, I like the fit, but I'm able
to. But that's the danger.
It's the danger, but I'm in control. Like, in other words, in college, I used dip occasionally.
Yeah.
like very rarely.
Packing a lip. I love it.
But I liked it. Uh-huh. And then I heard that it caused mouth cancer.
Yep.
And I was like, eh, one more time.
Yeah.
And then that was it. But I didn't, I wasn't like, I can't get, I got a dip. I was just like, no, I'm going to do that. I do this like twice a year.
Right.
It's no danger.
Right.
But I get that it's bad for me and I like the feeling. So I'm in control of that potential addiction. Gambling is the same thing for me. I kind of discipline the way I do it.
Can I ask, do you ever win on a parlay?
No, I usually just win on like smart long-term bets.
That's right. Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'll, like a beginning of a season, I like to do like MVP championship kind of bets. And like 2 years ago when Golden State won, I bet Golden State, they were, for some fucking reason, they were like a plus 900 in like, on like April 1st. And I was like, huh? Like you almost, I was almost like, is that a mistake?
Yeah.
So I bet them and won. They won the championship. It was like their odds like a week later had plummeted to like plus 350.
Yeah.
But you just sometimes catch it when it's like, sure. What the fuck is that? Somebody got fired for this.
Right.
You know, you got to be on this quicker. But like tonight, or I think in the next day or two, they're going to announce the defensive player of the year. I placed two bets. Rudy Gobert plus 650. He's almost certainly going to win. And Victor Wembanyama plus 6,000. Mm-hmm. Now, those are not fool's bets. Those are going to be the first two guys. Like, those are going to be 1-2 in the defensive player of the year. Sadly, it won't be Wembanyama,
right.
Which would be, you know, a month and a half of rent.
Right.
But the point is, to my brother, for example, he would think this sounds like degenerate. He thinks all gambling is like senseless and gross. But for me, it's like, I do it within my own system where it will never impede anything.
Yeah.
And I do get fun from the rush. Like I bet the Anthony Davis thing, a fool's bet. If two people hit fucking shots, it's all of a sudden a fucking genius.
I know, but this is the thing, JL.
No, because some of those things
this is why gambling can be like.
No, but I'm saying, I know you sound like you're warning our audience. Like, don't listen. JL is making this sound way too fun.
It's just like I approach, because I think I used to gamble like that. I had some moments where I was just like, oh, wow, you get better odds if you try to pick an underdog. But the underdog tends to lose a lot.
Yeah.
And I just think that like have a couple years of doing this has just gotten me to a place where it's like when I say you bet, when I hear you bet X amount on the parlay or whatever, mm-hmm. I get that there's a rush of like, yeah, all right, if all these long shot things hit, then I get a real rush. But for me, I get the rush when I bet like the favorite to cover the spread and it hits. And then I just get the, you know, it's not a huge payday, but it's a win. And you're getting money back, you know, so that I think my brain just goes to like, why wouldn't you just gamble? Why wouldn't you just bet safely?
I'm going to explain this in weightlifting terms.
OK,
there's a reason why in college, even though the fitness magazines would tell you, hey, it's not about, you don't have to necessarily do high weight.
Yeah.
You can do lower weight, higher reps. There's a reason you don't put on two plates and bang out 25 reps and go, whew, man. That's good. No, put on two big wheels, 10. Put on 25s, 8. Three big wheels, 6. And then you fucking go, fuck yeah. Like, it is.
So bad for your body.
Sometimes it is about, like, Laura is a perfect counterexample to this.
Yeah.
She played roulette in what I can only describe when we were in Vegas. As did you just devise a system that can somehow break roulette?
Laura
did. She just sat at the table,
yeah,
with her chips. First time ever playing roulette,
yeah.
And she watched this other woman get explained. This young, like, hot chick who I was like, "Are you a prostitute? You just like your friends don't like gambling because you're like a 27-year-old, like 5'9", pretty hot chick, just learning roulette by herself in Las Vegas."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who
are you working here?
Sis? Right. She sat there for a long time. I was like, do I look that desperate?
Yeah.
and Laura just like listened and learned and then like started like just doing like the, you know, put a chip in between these four. So you have nine, you know, 9-1, put it here. And she just sat there for like an hour and a half and the chips, it was like, if you could have done one of those videos,
yeah,
the chips just kept like kind of like just kept like rising over like an hour and a half, like just steady. I've never seen someone win at such a steady linear rate.
It's great.
For that long.
Good for her.
If we didn't have to go like to Utah early the next morning for the Jazz to lose to Luka.
Yeah.
I think she could have just sat there till like 2 a.m. and been like, oh, I made $3,100
yeah, right.
betting like $60 at a time for yeah. 4 straight hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good for some people. I would have been like, well, it's midnight. I guess we're all in on green.
Good Lord.
But it's the thing is that I acknowledge it's a vice. I know that I'm probably somebody who could be susceptible to problems, but I keep that. I balance that with because to some people, it might be dangerous.
Dude, there's a great, do you like the Twilight Zone?
Not really. I never bothered to watch it.
There's this really good Twilight Zone called The Fever.
Yeah.
Where this dude is, he goes.
Is it more cowbell?
No. They go to Vegas, or they go to some casino somewhere. It's this like older guy and his wife, mm-hmm. and he's like conservatively against gambling. He thinks it's bad or whatever. And it's a waste of money. And somehow he gets a free spin on a slot machine. And he's like, well, it's free, so I'll just do it. I'm not wasting my money, so it's not a big deal. And he does it, and he's just like immediately addicted, and he loses everything. And the whole episode is about this guy, his like descent into like, holy shit, I betrayed all my principles and fucked my whole life up, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. But I feel like that is in you somewhere. The fever is in you somewhere.
It probably is, but I can control it. And I know but it's true because look, you hear me talking about gambling and you think there's a potential problem.
It's just the way I'm hearing you talk about gambling.
I am very aware that there's a potential problem.
Yeah.
And so I have my own system and my own kind of check marks, and I enjoy it within those check marks, and I don't violate, you know, those boundaries that I've set. So my mind is strong enough to set the boundaries that my gut wants to break through.
Yeah.
That said, if Victor Wembanyama wins Defensive Player of the Year, all bets are off. I'm a fucking genius. But even if he doesn't, I win $650 on Gobert. Like that's, and if I were to tell you, since I started internet gambling in like 2019, when I first moved to Jersey, I'd say, honestly, if you told me I was minus 3,000 over 5 years, I'd say, yeah, maybe minus 4,000.
Yeah.
But like, that sounds crazy, but like, that's really not crazy for fun, for excitement. People play the lottery. I have spent probably $400 on the lottery and have gained no enjoyment from that.
Well, the lottery sucks. I don't really know why people do play the lottery.
When they say like $1 billion, I go, I could destroy a lot of enemies with that money. So I think that's been Gambling Corner. And by the way, before we take our first break, everybody, today's my birthday. When you listen to this, it's the day after my birthday or a week after my birthday, or you've discovered this in a time capsule, aliens, and you're going, what was a podcast? But all I want for my birthday is for all of you to go watch Half Blackface on Amazon Prime. Cameos are only $45 this week because I turned 45 years old. It's a little cute branding promo we do over at Cameo, Mike. And
genius.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, but other than that, obviously, you know, share a video, subscribe to something, leave a fucking review for this podcast. We've gotten like 5 reviews in like 4 months. You know, obviously a lot of pre-existing listeners had reviews that were already there, but leave a review. I'm giving you all the free options, and this is no money, but like help the show out, help me out. But Half Blackface, watch it, share it with a friend. It's free on Amazon Prime. And we'll be back after this quick break to discuss Shogun. And we're back. Mike, during that break, did you dishonor anybody?
No, I did not dishonor anybody.
Well, very good. I thought that was a perfect lead-in to discuss FX's new epic hit, shogun.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to say shogun. I feel like that's how the gringos would say it. I feel like that's the anglicized, you know, bullshit way.
Yeah.
As they say on the show, shogun. FX is shogun.
Love it.
The gun is real, like a real drop off at the end. Now you're 8 episodes in. The season finale, I have not yet watched the season finale, which went up last night as of this recording, April 23rd. JL's birthday eve, as it's known on my calendar.
Yeah, and everybody knows it like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've watched 9 episodes. You've watched 8.
Yeah.
What are your feelings about Shogun?
Very positive. I mean, I love movies like this and like the Kurosawa movies, Seven Samurai. He has a great one called Ran, which is like a King Lear in Japan, basically.
That came out in the 80s. I remember that one because before I knew what it was, I remember like Ebert talking about loving it.
Oh, dude, it's an incredible movie. And I've always been, since really I was watching those movies, I've always been extremely fascinated by the Japanese culturally. I know it's like
Karate
different.
Kid was what did it for me.
That's what hooked you?
Yeah. I became a real Sinophile after you know, Mr. Miyagi's great example to Western culture.
Yeah. I think this show's awesome because it's very easy to fuck up shows like this and stuff about samurai and that type. Well, I guess they're not technically samurai, but it's like feudal Japan. Stories from that time and place, I think it's easy to mess up. I've seen some bad samurai movies. So it's kind of like
Kill Bill's probably my favorite samurai movie.
Kill Bill's good. Are you making a joke?
A little bit.
I think Kill Bill's good.
I think that's you know, if I said The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise is
also
my favorite.
Good.
Yeah, but I'm saying
I know.
This is like a movie that's trying to be very like culturally sort of accurate and deep with it.
Totally. And I have seen bad ones for sure, but it's kind of like it's like when they make a modern day really cool Western, same sort of thing. You're just like, oh man, this is awesome. Why don't they do this more? And you know, that's how I feel about Shogun. I just feel like it's awesome. It's been fun to watch, and I'm sad that I only have 2 more episodes left to watch.
You know what the original title was going to be?
Happy birthday to JL Coven.
Toranaga, please. this show, what I love about this is when before the pandemic, Laura visited Japan. She went on a 2-week trip with a friend of hers to Japan.
Okay.
And one of my favorite things she got was a 2020 Olympic pin, which obviously didn't happen.
Right.
So we're sitting on that. That's my investment strategy, is to see how much as a collectible that's worth like 20 years from now, like the Olympics that never happened.
Right.
But she said, I would love Japan because she said it was so clean and everybody was so polite.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that does make me sound like I want to go there.
Yeah.
I do want to check it out. And I will say this. I think people who listen to the show know JL's a guy of ethics, of manners, of propriety, of what's right. What's right, whether or not it makes what's right is important to this show.
Yeah.
At least one half of this show. And I watched Shogun and I said, they've taken the JL ethic way too far.
How do you mean?
You did not say please when you held the door. I am sorry. I will kill myself and my family.
But I think that's what it was like.
I know. I'm not saying it's inaccurate. I'm saying, okay, see, this is an example of where I can now use Shogun as a good teaching tool for this show.
Yeah.
Shogun is not the world I want. That's when JL has gone too far, you get Shogun.
It's so funny because it's the world that I want desperately. I watch this and I'm like, they got it right. I really do. I'm like, you just I watch it and I'm like, I'm kind of surprised that this is a hit because it's the way that all these people are living is so foreign.
But that's probably why, because it's like, to me, it's not so foreign. It's too far.
I think that's
called a bar.
I think that obviously,
but to other people, it's so foreign. It's like, what a weird, what a, What a strange, weird culture.
Well, it's not, and it's not necessarily like the idea that it is like an ethnic culture or foreign culture. I think it's the idea that we try to get into the minds of like younger people on the show a lot.
Yes.
And I truly do think that we're so far away from like the idea of personal pride and like family pride.
Well, during elder care, I did bring up Asian culture as one of the cultures where it's like, it's a reverse where it's like, oh no, no. Once you get of age, taking care of your elders is like a primary responsibility, not an afterthought. Whereas here it's like, well, you hope they can take care of themselves. I'll help out if I can. It's like, no. It's almost a 180 in terms of like mindset, in terms of community and elders.
Right. But you'll see that like in Shogun, you'll see a dude say like threaten to cut his gut open or like offer to cut his gut open and then do it. And it's kind of like, well, why did he just do that? Because he said he was gonna. And like, that's it. And I think that idea of as a concept in America right now, not cutting open your gut and killing yourself.
Some MAGA people, I feel like, not to turn this into modern politics, I feel like some MAGA people do die for Trump. Like maybe. Ashley Babbitt is like an example of like, you stole the election, Joe Biden. I will charge the Capitol. Like there is like some bizarre Trump is bigger than us. Like he is our cause. Which is a scary thing to think that the MAGA movement is closer to a Shogun mentality than the left, which is more like, I'm weird.
Yes, exactly. That's my point.
Going because like, you know, like
I'm uncomfortable.
So I can't be here because I insulted my like in the opening episode, one of his guys like says he's going to attack this other person for insulting his lord.
Yeah.
And then his lord, Torunaga, please.
Yeah.
Says, you think I can't defend myself? And then his guy's like, I have humiliated you. I will kill me and my baby.
Yeah, it's like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
What?
Wild shit, man.
In the words of Lil Jon, what? It was, and I was like, I now got the comparisons to Game of Thrones. Like there was this kind of wanton violence, even though it was like a principled violence. Like in the first episode of Game of Thrones, he beheads a guy who like fled his post on the Night's Watch. Even though we just saw the guy fled because of a White Walker. We're like, I don't know. I think that's a fair reason.
Yeah.
Zombies. Like that seems like it's outside the handbook of human resources, but he killed him. And his son is like, why'd you kill him? He's like, he broke his oath.
Right.
And like in this show, it's like, that is oath and tradition and code.
Yep.
Are more important than any, they are the most important thing.
Yep.
And of course, though, you get in many things, faith-based and honor-based societies, you will get people who will cheat them.
Right.
Donald Trump being a perfect example of somebody who will cheat an honor-based system.
Right.
Because he has no honor.
Right.
But what I also loved about Shogun just so far is the legalese with which they speak.
Yeah.
I love it when they're like, I couldn't. I'm sorry. I'm not speaking fluent Japanese here. I'm just doing the offensive accent. But where it's like, I could not have done that because if I had done that, I would have to kill your whole family. And it's like, oh, okay. Like everybody's always making like threats that are not like you could not use these statements against me in court.
Yeah.
Kind of very like.
Yeah.
Any man who had said that, clearly this man has not insulted my family, because had he, his entire line would be burned to death. I didn't do that.
Right.
I didn't do that because only a monster would do that.
Yeah.
Like all these, these denials that are like warnings, these denial warnings, warnials.
Yeah.
Like that are, and, but it's an epic show. But I do love the fact that they definitely were like, can we get an affordable Tom Hardy for the lead white guy role?
Yeah. That guy's good though.
He seems like he's there auditioning for a ton of voiceover work, right? Because he's like his voice is so
very
like
deep, yeah. He's, gravelly,
it's,
yeah. Gra-
it's so he's just so ready to sign up for 18 graphic novel adaptations. I'm glad to see the woman in it, the lead woman, who you're gonna love episode 9. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay,
The lead woman, she was in the Godzilla series on Apple TV, which I hated. I quit after four episodes.
Ah.
So I'm glad to see her in something else. Because you never like to see a pretty lady let her skills go to waste.
Yeah.
What do you think of that little Asian woman walk that they all had to master where it looks like they're floating? You haven't noticed the walk whenever they walk. They walk like pigeon toed and shuffle. But if you just look at them from like waist up, they look like they're kind of like floating.
It's like a traditional. Like, of all the things to notice, it's not something that made my list, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure the Shogun people would appreciate that I appreciate the details and the authenticity.
I mean, I do think that the attention to detail, it's not like I was ever in fucking, you know, feudal Japan, but it looks pretty great to me. I think that they really did a great job making me feel like it's exactly what life was like back then, you know?
Yeah. It is weird. It feels like a show that should be continuing.
I hope.
No, but I think it's just, I think they're just doing like, we broke the bank on this one.
Yeah.
It's 10 episodes. We're going to win a bunch of Emmys and we're out. It would be very cool if they did, because you could obviously continue this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, time did not stop in 1610 or whatever.
Right.
But it's, you know, some people were saying it's better than Game of Thrones. I was like, how do you make that comparison?
Is it getting that high praise?
Yeah.
Really?
But like, it's also,
I know people like it, but that's another level.
It's one season. It's like if Game of Thrones had made one season, you know, Game of Thrones made like five amazing seasons.
Right.
And then a sixth season, which I think is maligned unfairly. But let me ask you a question. Let's get real about Shogun now. Mm-hmm. Okay. People don't come here for the surface area talk.
Never.
When you can't remember names and characters, do you feel racist?
On this show specifically?
Yeah, because when it happened on Game of Thrones, I was like, the little guy, you know, the tall blonde guy on a Forgan fact. I was just like, that's too complicated. But on this show, I'm like, who the fuck is that? Which one is that again? Who?
Names, I know, because I don't think that I remember names. And like The Wire specifically, I remember being like, I know who these people are, I think.
Oh, no, that's like, definitely racist.
No, because they weren't black. Like, I remember not knowing McNulty's name until like season three or something. You know?
Bush it up.
Eventually he just like somebody calls him McNulty. I'm like, oh, I guess that's his name. That's the main guy, you know, in this show. I mean, I can tell everybody apart. I know you spend enough time with people. It's actually pretty well done that there's a lot of characters and they
do a good job in the few episodes of bringing them back like quickly.
Right.
So that you say a name and then that person shows up. It is kind of a game.
There's not a lot of fat. There's not a lot of like, who is that again? They were in a scene for like 5 seconds. Like everybody that's kind of like on the show is on the show. Like they serve a purpose and they're not just like hanging around, you know?
Yeah. I felt myself feeling a little like I was like, can I admit that the names are confusing me right now? Because about four episodes in, I'm like, I think I'm following. And then there was a scene where I thought they might have used a body double, and I was like, I don't think that was her getting naked with the British guy.
Oh, that confused me too. I wasn't sure. I agree with you on that.
Because I think that might have been a body double, and like I was seeing her face, and I was like, but that's not her.
Yeah.
That's not me going all Asian consorts look alike. Well, I was like, then, I don't think that's her.
And then I thought, doesn't she deny it? Like in the like right after,
but with a wink, with that same denial thing of like, I hope you had a nice time,
right,
with your whore.
So I wasn't.
And he was like, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
that wasn't you.
So that was like, confusing to both of us then, because I remember thinking, I was like, did she send the other woman in there, and he just thinks it's her? Like,
but because
I thought it was different. I thought it was a different
wasn't
woman
the
too.
Woman that was supposed to be with him. Like he had that woman whose husband and child died by their own sword.
Yes,
she was supposed to be the one.
Right.
It wasn't her. It was clearly not her. But then it was her who walked in. And I was like, I think that's a third woman.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Right? I thought the same thing. I wasn't convinced. I wasn't sure it was her.
Isn't that how you get people to feel racist, though? You gaslight me into thinking. They're like, of course it was her. Then why'd you use a different actress? Why are you trying to entrap me to anti-Asian racism?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a good show. I think the people who are like better than Game of Thrones need to really fucking chill.
Yeah.
But it's going to be up there certainly for a lot of awards. I think it could be, you know, based on the Bear's success, I wouldn't be surprised if Shogun swept the best comedy Emmys next year. But it's, what was I going to say? The British guy, he's budget Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
It just feels like, why not just get Tom Hardy? You spent all this money.
Yeah.
Get Tom Hardy. No offense to that guy. He's fine. But I think it's good. I don't even know if I have a ton to talk about.
Well, you said that there are things that you feel like you picked up on that are outside of just the show itself, that kind of relate to the JL world.
Oh, yes. God, earning his keep this week. Yes, it was, because it is the, I like the idea of a society based on honor, but this is an example of, to me, it's like, we need to reevaluate the boundaries of what constitutes honor, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, this is the extreme. This is, if I were running for office, my political opponent would just run clips of Shogun and say, in a JL run world, do you see what happens? And it's just babies being stabbed because somebody didn't say thank you after a meal.
Yeah. Do you want to live in America where we all commit Shenjutsu?
What do they say? The seppuku?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, Shenjutsu might be a place in Japan then. I don't know. I'll just pull that a word, but I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think that this is the thing that I picked up on when I was watching it, was that I wish that it is an extreme version of it. And you look at it and you're kind of just like, whoa, that's really, you know, why don't you give yourself a break on that one little thing there, dude? But overall, I do think that it's this idea that, like, I guess it's like a stoic idea in some ways, that your word matters and you have duty and you have things that you want to do, is, I think it's just such a foreign concept to where we're at right now in a society, because, like, I don't know if it's a cynicism from younger people, including my generation.
I'd say it extends to my generation and above. Like, I've had conversations with people where they'll give me a look like I'm a sucker for certain things.
Right. And this is the thing. I think that, like, there is something, and I thought about this when I was binging on Sunday and like catching up on it. There's something that looks very freeing about everybody in that show, where it's just like, what are they doing? Yes, they're fighting for their lives and their survival, and they, you know, they want to make Torinaga the Shogun and all that stuff, but, like, there's no bullshit jobs. There's no fucking, it's just a bunch of people walking around with swords, like, surviving and living and
in beautiful architecture, by the way, for fucking 1600s.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Yeah. And I think that is, like, the key that I think is missing now, as we move to a world where there's going to be more AI, jobs are going to become less and less important. Like, truthfully, everybody in that show, I know it's a television show and it's a work of fiction and it's scripted, so it's hard to go by that because it's not a history book here. And it's hundreds of years ago. That's when it takes place. But, like, everybody's got a purpose and everybody's doing something. And you fit in society in a way where, like, your role is well understood.
And sex work was more than work back then. Sex work was like a cultural, artistic thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, spare me the sex work who's like, I did OnlyFans. It's work.
This
bitch trained for like 15 years in the art of pouring tea. Okay. Yeah,
and I mean,
you show your tits on OnlyFans. You're not an artist. I feel like Dirk Diggler. You're not an artist. You're a fucking actor. You're not an actor. I'm a consort. I'm a fucking consort. So it's my teacup. Let's fuck.
But you know what I mean? Like, I was watching it. And even though these people are in, like, a fight for survival, there was still a part of me that was just like, man, there's, like, it's a simple way to live, isn't it? You wake up, you try not to fuck up, you try not to get anybody killed or yourself killed, and you get to walk around in cool samurai armor with a sword, and just, like, you know, there's no boss, like, asking you if hey, can you have that by the end of the day?
Are you suggesting I did not do my paperwork?
Right.
You have insulted me.
Like, it's this thing that's just so foreign, you know, and it's not, it has less to do with
I don't like your tone. My boss yelled at me today.
Right.
Oh, really? My boss told me to kill my children. Hey!
Right.
That's Shogun versus today.
Yeah.
It's so different. You're creating a hostile work environment. I will do that when I get back from lunch. Lunch! You will never eat again. Did you just kill my whole family? That's not okay.
I am so putting this on TikTok. Some Japanese guy came in here with a sword and killed everybody because I was impolite.
Could you please press 7?
You press it yourself. Do I look like an elevator servant? I have shamed my family. I look like a servant.
And then in the back of the elevator, as you're going to work, the guy like lays out his sword and says, I have shamed my family. I do not look like a working man. Second me. Yeah. And like so, the FedEx guy has to take a sword and chop your head off in the elevator.
Imagine that in this situation. I'd be like, JL, the baseball episode only did 320 views on YouTube. Please second me while I cut my gut open for embarrassing you with a bad pitch.
And we're back after the break, and Mike's dead. But the podcast has its honor intact. And I will say this. This is a great opportunity for anybody who's enjoying Shogun.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One. This will sound ridiculous. Godzilla Minus One is both an excellent sequel to Oppenheimer, and yep. I mean that as a joke, and real. But it's also a great cultural companion piece to Shogun.
Yeah.
I am not exaggerating that, because there is this dilemma of like the value of, is your life more important than the society, than the culture, than right. the future, than the world we build? And the answer is a resounding absolutely not in Shogun to most of the people.
Right.
It's no.
Right.
Not even a question. Not even close. And Godzilla Minus One, which is, you know, a Japanese film, is really taking to task that sort of idea, which still existed in World War II with kamikaze pilots.
Right.
Where you could be executed if they found out your plane didn't malfunction, that you just chose not right. to do your duty
right.
and kill yourself into yeah. like an American base.
Yep.
And it reexamines that idea of like living and a change in sort of cultural values, which is how we get to the Japan of today, where people are polite
yep.
and people keep things clean and they don't like tattoos. And I think I'm moving there.
Yeah. And every 15 years, a giant reptile climbs out of the water and crushes Tokyo.
Right. And that's going to be me in a few years. Oh, JL, he has come because America has dishonored his comedy.
Oh, no, he's a back.
He's a back. That was like, was that an Italian Japanese guy?
I
that was,
can't do accents.
That was.
That's why I'm in the booth.
That was Vinny-san. Oh, you disrespect my Jack. But yeah, Shogun, I'm excited for the finale, but it's one of those shows that has enough excitement to not just be sort of a look at this cultural examination and this history piece.
Oh yeah.
But it's also not so much violence that it starts to feel just like sort of a gratuitous action movie.
Yeah.
It hits a balance really well. And I have said this before, maybe not on this show. I think I tried to make a joke about this and it didn't go over well because most audiences are fucking stupid. But and dishonor me.
Yeah.
I said foreign films are having a moment. Like films have been having more and more of a moment. And my theory is you have to read them.
So you don't like foreign films?
No, I do. No, and I mean I'm not like some pretentious, like, I prefer the Angelica for all my movie needs, but like Parasite is a perfect example. Parasite wins best picture. And I think when you watch a movie like Parasite, you've got to be focused on it.
Right.
You can't look at your phone because you look up and go, oh, fuck, right. I don't speak Korean.
Right.
I can't hear that and go, yeah, I know what they're talking about.
Right.
It's like, no, I need to be.
Right.
And I feel like I do think that matters. I feel like when you watch a good, you know, Shogun is like 80% Japanese, 85%. You know, they do a clever thing with the Portuguese is like English. Like when they're speaking Portuguese, they just make that English.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be really impressed if they were just like no English whatsoever. Eight grunts from fake Tom Hardy going like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And that was the only English you get the entire episode.
Yeah.
But you have to pay attention. It forces you to pay attention. And in this day and age where we pay attention less and look at our phone and people check their phones, foreign movies, I think, are filling in this gap where it's like, yeah, if you hear this is a good movie, you have to put the phone down and watch this.
Yeah.
And I think that helps. I think that's an odd, you know, because think about it. Not that foreign movies haven't been inspired by American movies and haven't become bigger and bigger, but they are having a much more significant moment. We had two nominated for Best Picture this year. Parasite won in 2019. You know, like I think you're going to see more and more of this, but yeah, Shogun. I mean, I think we should, this should generate some comments at least on,
well, let's on hope.
YouTube.
And you guys, obviously, you're getting better at it. With baseball, even though it was a small but mighty audience, people were very invested in leaving comments, and we would appreciate if you guys do that. It helps the videos. I know we have a little bit of an older audience here, but algorithm, blah, 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 blah. It you know, it gets helped by people leaving comments because it makes YouTube think that it's an important video.
Right. And I'm not willing to make the title of this episode Comedian Destroys Shogun in 32 Minutes.
Right.
Because, of course, that would be even better.
Yeah.
What? And but then people don't even watch it. They're like, this guy's a fucking contrarian hater. And I'm true, but also watch the video.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to the finale. You're looking forward to the last two episodes?
Oh, dude, I can't wait. I mean, like, I didn't have enough time on Sunday. I was kind of falling asleep on the couch to watch the last episode before the finale. But yeah, man, there hasn't been a lot of other television that I've cared about in a while. And I really do wish there was more stuff like this, more period pieces, more. It's just more interesting to me. I don't know. You know, I have not found a lot of things that take place in modern times that like catch my attention the way that something like this does.
Yeah, I just think we're in the problem is we have so many platforms. These things cost so much money.
Yeah,
people don't want to spend the money either to make it or to watch, like to sign up to all the streaming services. So, you know, I just think ironically, Shogun, it represents a kind of gone society. You know, I think we're just going to further that somehow.
Yeah. Lucky us.
But yeah, don't you dare dishonor me in the comments or I will demand you commit sepulchre. Anything else? I think, and it's a far cry from my previous favorite Asian content. Do you know what that was?
No.
Gung Ho with Michael Keaton.
That can't be right.
I love that movie. And I'm certain it has to be offensive.
Yes, it is.
Michael
Keaton. Not to me, but
I loved that movie as a kid.
Is it Gung Ho? Is a lot of it, the Asian people going like, whoa, right? Isn't it a lot of that shit? Like Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's? Except
they're actually Asian.
All right. I guess that's a little better.
Because it's kind of making fun of this. Your homework, everybody. Watch Godzilla Minus One and Gung Ho. Because the main guy, it's mocking this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the key to the movie is a combination of some of that American looseness and ingenuity with the Japanese discipline, mm-hmm. like a fusion restaurant.
Right.
But of course, to get there, you have a lot of jokes. And the main guy is this kind of weaselly, like mid-level guy who's like failing at his job. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's like hitting himself. And I was like, nah. But then all the elder guys at Toyota, or I think it was Toyota or some equivalent, are like, just that, like just very stern.
Yeah.
And I just remember Michael Keaton when he tells them to keep the factory. They have to make 15,000 cars in a month. And it's one of my favorite scenes because he's getting the union riled up. And he's like, they say we can't do it. How many cars do we have to make? 15,000 cars. And the fucking crowd dies. And it's actually also mocking like American laziness.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of an offensive movie to both sides, which is why I still kind of enjoy it, even though I'm sure it's horrible. So on that note, on that lead in talking about a comedy movie, everybody, let us know what you think of Shogun in the comments. Watch it. You know, you're getting two recommendations here. Cool Mike and Old JL are both recommending it. So it can't be bad. And we'll be back with a brief segment of comedy talk.
And now, from the Slickback Studios newsroom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, here is Scott Pelley with a Rain on Your Parade special report.
I'm Scott Pelley on assignment from 60 Minutes with this week's Rain on Your Parade Punchdown of the Week. JL wrote on social media, "My nickname for Robert Kennedy Jr. is Throat Rogan," to which one fan replied, "How about besmirchment?" JL.
Wow, Scott, I gotta tell you, that was maybe the worst we've ever had. And JL, you missed Scott again. You always miss these guys.
No, he had to. He was looking a little thinner. You know, I think
probably slimming down beach season.
He's working hard a lot. No, I don't think he's, you know, he's a big weightlifting guy. So I think he just wanted to get in, you know, before rush hour at the gym.
Wow,
everybody gets out of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's an important one because not only is that one of the worst, because the joke is very brief, very punny, very concise, and gets the point across. Throat Rogan. It's mocking him for his physical issue and comparing him to a similarly minded kind of conspiracy theory left, like third wing kind of guy.
Yeah.
To come back with not only a how about, like that's the punchdown, yeah, is the suggestion that's not as good, but it's not just that it's not as good. It's that what?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the question, joke, or concept is there. So that's, I mean, it's not as flashy as some of the others, but that's an all-timer in terms of bad.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
So, and I want to talk about a one-man show. Uh-oh. A one-man show I watched on HBO recently as the special for this week.
Okay.
It's called Just for Us by Alex Edelman. And this is a comedian who had done this off-Broadway show that I guess got really good reviews.
I think I've heard of this.
Yeah, and it's the gist of it. He talks a lot about his Judaism, and the timing couldn't have been better for this because he'd obviously been workshopping this and working on it far before October 7th. Like, this is a project from several years ago
that
he had been doing in theaters and then filmed, probably almost certainly filmed before, you know, filmed as a special. So it's there are moments in entertainment where it's just like, what a, for lack of a better term, a happy coincidence, even though it's obviously not a good thing that this comes out at this time. Cause he's basically talking about his Judaism a lot, but also as it reflects, his attending secretly a like white supremacist meeting.
Yeah.
I heard of this.
I didn't know that they'd made it into a special, but I've heard about this from people that have, like women I've dated that saw this.
Oh.
And didn't, they said, "Oh, I think it'd be great. You'd love this guy. You like comedy, right?" I was like, "I used to do comedy. I don't like it."
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, you know, you've met a keeper when they say, "I just saw this special half blackface." Marry that bitch. Here's what I'm going to say. Like, I watched it because I'd heard good things.
Yeah.
And it's a really good show. It's funny. And I like it when a stand-up comedian isn't quite abandoning their stand-up comedy chops for the one-man show. Let me hit you with some powerful truth and some deep thoughts kind of shit. I think the best example of this was so good that it really isn't considered a one-man show. Gary Gulman's The Great Depression, which was such, it was a thematic, it could have easily been called a one-man show.
Yeah.
But it was so stand-up comedy. It was more like 1 hour and 10 minute or hour and 5 minute stand-up track. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus this sound, you know what I mean? This, oh, and my dentist is calling me right now.
Great.
Great timing, buddy. This Alex Edelman show, I was afraid was going to veer less into the Gulman area and more into the, not to trash a fellow performer, but you know, the what's her name? The show that was on Netflix, Get on Your Knees, Jackie Novak, which really enjoy. Because both of the performers, his performance style is closer to Jackie Novak in terms of like kind of a relentless, almost annoying, maybe on purpose, persona and energy.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's just, if you had to sit and have a conversation with this person in this mode, it would be exhausting. But for some reason, because I think it was split, it was contains far more jokes and punchlines than hers did.
Yeah.
It was a much more enjoyably digested one-man show than hers, which was, you know, maybe this is what a lot of people liked about hers, was it was different and it was this frantic kind of manic delivery that gave it a kind of unique feel, but I just didn't care for it. This has a much better sort of, is much more palatable to the traditional stand-up comedy fan. And I thought it was really good and it has some lessons, but it really is just not a lesson here. Guys, let me give you a lesson now. It still maintains this very funny, there's a sense of danger when he's at this meeting. Like he sets it up really well. He's annoying enough where for like 1% of you is like, I kind of hope one of them slapped you at least. but it's a funny show. And I think it's more a credit to the funniness and the material that I did find him kind of annoying, but still thought it was a really good show and really funny for the most part. So if you have HBO Max, or as it's now called, Max, I would say check that out. But not before you go to Amazon Prime and watch Half Blackface.
Of course.
Mike, indulge me. It's my birthday.
It's happy birthday. I know. Happy birthday. Jeez.
Oh, it only took us to the last minute of the show to get a happy birthday.
Oh, fuck off. I said it to you before we started recording.
I guess you did, but you know what?
Yeah, I guess I did too.
That doesn't count for the show. That's right. Off camera stuff, Mike.
Great.
Okay.
You want to wrap it up?
You have dishonored me. Yes, I do want to wrap it up. I've got to go to the Cheesecake Factory to celebrate my 45th birthday. Because Chuck E. Cheese was all booked up. So everybody, my show in Syracuse got canceled because I sold one ticket. So don't look for me in Syracuse on Thursday night. Best fans in the world. I always say it, Mike. I always say it.
You do.
One ticket.
Yeah.
You know what's sad about that? No offense to the one ticket purchaser. It's not even two tickets. Like there wasn't even a couple or a pair of people who were like, let's go. One. So the one person who bought a ticket couldn't get other people to go.
Yeah.
And so they canceled my gig because, as Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Well, we didn't meet the Jesus threshold of two tickets sold. But I am in Larchmont in May. I'm in D.C. in June. And did I mention I have a special on Amazon Prime streaming free, Half Blackface?
Yep, that was mentioned.
Okay, well, that's there. Leave a nice review for the show. We're not getting a lot of reviews recently for the show on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen. And engage. Go watch Shogun. Engage in the comments.
Yeah.
By the time this episode's up on YouTube, I think the both of us will have seen
Definitely. All
the episodes, so you won't have to worry about spoiling it for us.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're liking Shogun or you're getting through Shogun, let us know what you think, what you thought of the episode, and if you think we dishonored anybody. I think we did. So until next time, see you next Thursday.
Including the entire race of Japanese. Mm-hmm.